You're listening to the Family Matters Podcast, brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Join Derek A. Straker and Patrick Webb weekly for faith-fueled conversations about pressing issues, current events, and politics in the Big Sky State. When it comes to faith and freedom, family really matters. Welcome back to the Family Matters Podcast. Derek A. Straker in studio with Patrick Webb. How are you, Patrick?
Howdy, Derek. I am awesome today.
Yeah, you had a big week, and I know we'll get into that in this episode. This is a special episode for us. We are double digits now. This is episode 10. Can you believe it?
I am excited about it, man. It's been a lot of fun doing it and hearing feedback from people that are listening. It's a cool little project, and hopefully people are learning some things and are, you know, enjoying it overall.
I hope so too. I hope people find it encouraging as well. That's part of what we're going to talk about today. It's hard to not sound like a broken record when, you know, we have four issues and those issues are often some pretty hard and heavy topics. You know, we talk about abortion, we talk about transgender ideology, we talk about marriage and family, and we talk about protecting kids and giving them hope in their educational environment. And, you know, these are hard, heavy hitting topics that people care very deeply about. And, you know, when we have bad news from our perspective to report, and we try to educate people on what's going on around them in this world, in this culture, in this state, you know, it can feel kind of overwhelming. And so this episode, we kind of wanted to talk about hope.
Yeah.
Just as a concept and you know, where we find our hope, what we base it on, and what drives us to do the things that we do at the Montana Family Foundation. So, you know, without stealing any of your thunder, I do want to hear, and I know our listeners are anxious to hear about what you've been up to. I know you're wearing a very special shirt here today, and you had a great event yesterday. So tell us what happened.
Yeah. So, you know, first off, I have to do a shout out for my mom because she's been listening and she told me that she's been doing one episode a night, and she said, "You're very well spoken." And I said, "Well, I appreciate that, but it is amazing because when I was doing Toastmasters, you realize how many ums and ahs and fillers you use. And I know that this podcast has got to be filled with those fillers."
Well, I know they're filled with those fillers from yours truly.
Yeah.
So that's me.
Yeah. But yeah, thanks for listening, Mom, and everyone else who's listening. Yeah, so I was in Billings. I just drove back last night. And there was a Disciple rock concert there. Now, Disciple is a Christian rock band.
Nice.
They've been around since, I think, the 90s. They've been around for a long time. And I tell you what, the thing that amazed me the most was how well the lead singer shared the gospel.
How cool.
And shared his testimony and invited people in the audience to follow Jesus. And there was people all around us who had their hands raised. And then they went into this really heavy hitting song that was about letting go of your past and all of the things, your sins, everything else that you feel like has tied you down. Mm-hmm. And it was just so inspirational. There was people around me in tears. And that was a free concert that they brought on. Emmanuel Baptist Church in Billings held that. They have a phenomenal venue. That church is just huge.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, it was really great, but I was there intentionally to table for the foundation and just have some conversations with people that were there. I, you know, being a fan of rock myself, I know that, you know, these people that attend these things, these are our people. These are the salt of the earth Montanans, you know, that go to these concerts. And I knew that these people would be interested in some of the work that we're doing.
Yep.
And they absolutely are. I got several pages of people that are signed up and interested in partnering with us, or, you know, getting involved with our programs in different ways. And they're concerned about the way things are headed, but their attention is focused on their families. They are still being fulfilled in their lives. They're still going outdoors, you know, and having fun. They're going to rock concerts. They're focusing on Jesus. I mean, like, so they are not putting their heads down in the gutter, but though they're aware of what's going on. So that was awesome. And the next day we had a presentation, which we're calling a Vision of Hope.
That's
presentation.
Right.
Yeah.
Hope is central.
Hope is central. And it's, you know, on par with this conversation today.
That's right.
Really funny, because I have to state the problem at the beginning of this presentation. And that problem is very depressing, because I'm talking about, you know, communism and the mass deaths of the 20th century that communism caused, and it's not a vision of hope.
It's not rainbows and unicorns, and this is difficult stuff that we talk about.
Yeah, adversely. I mean, it's a vision of death is what that is. And so at one point, you know, I got to it and I said, you know, I know that this is a little bit depressing. We're going to get into the good stuff, but to be honest, like, you guys would be watching the State of the Union. So would it be much better? At least I'm telling you the truth tonight. And yeah, we had about 60 people that turned out.
Wow.
We had Word of Life Church host us, another church off of King in Billings, and their staff went to work and did really great work, just setting Wonderful. Things up and making it look so nice. And I really love our people in Billings. They're very loving people. They're helping each other. We had Jesse Browning over there, who does work with Moms for Liberty. She had a brand new baby that she had just gotten from the hospital, because they are a foster family. They take in foster children. And so she was feeding a baby while she was at this thing. And you know, you would never know that she's tired. she has an energy and a spark in her eyes.
Well, you know what they say, if you want to get things done, Patrick, you ask a busy person, because they're the only people that will find time to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. They know how to. But God is working in that community in big ways. And we see that across our state in many different ways, especially when that's one reason I love working with the grassroots, is because these are just everyday folks.
Yeah.
And you get to see how God is working in their lives, and, you know, how they're working in each other's lives. And Montanans have great love for one another and are helping each other out in big ways.
Yeah.
Just very encouraging. I hope people are encouraged by that.
Well, we certainly are. I know that you and I, and we've often remarked that people don't really take action. They don't really get involved until they get uncomfortable. And so, you know, it's a sad truth, but it's a reality that, you know, these topics and issues that we're fighting against and or fighting towards, you know, God's vision for our issue areas, that they make people uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you go out to Billings and you have a group of nearly 60 people show up on a Thursday night to learn how to be more active, to get involved in the grassroots effort for the advancement of the kingdom of God here in Montana. Mm-hmm. That shows you people are getting uncomfortable with what's going on in our state, in our world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just in the past week, we could talk about a number of examples of things that make you and I uncomfortable and have made others uncomfortable, and certainly some of our listeners uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. We could talk about, you know, a Butte Silver Bow County judge, Judge Kruger, struck down 3 pro-life bills just last week. Judge Kruger.
These are from 2021.
These are from 2021. That's right. They were now, get this, Patrick. They were originally before Judge Moses over in Yellowstone County, who, issued preliminary injunctions in these against these bills to enjoin the enforcement of these protections for unborn babies. So he enjoined them. Then he retired, And so the case then got transferred to Judge Krueger, who just issued this order finding these bills unconstitutional and going out of his way to claim that they're just terrible pieces of policy that anyone would dare to try and protect an unborn baby. Mm-hmm. And well, guess what? Judge Krueger isn't seeking re-election because he's retiring. So we have two judges in a row on their way out the door making decisions like this to strike down protections for the unborn. And then just 2 days ago, we had a kind of a rare event here in Montana. Our Montana Supreme Court had oral argument in the parental consent to abortion case. This was a case that Planned Parenthood had challenged a law that was enacted back in 2013. Now, this goes actually even further back than that. It was in 2012, we had a ballot issue that 73% of Montanans voted in favor of to make sure that parents had a right to consent before their minor daughter was going to have an abortion procedure. 73% of Montanans had the wisdom and discretion and understanding and experience to know that that's the right thing to do.
What year was that again?
2012.
Okay.
This is 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So then fast forward to 2013, the legislature passed this Parental Consent Act into state law. And right after that session, Planned Parenthood challenged that law. It was immediately enjoined, and then it passed through half a dozen different district court judges over the following 10 years, until finally, in February of 2023, Judge Chris Abbott here in Lewis and Clark County issued an order finding it unconstitutional, and then we had the appeal, and that's why it's before the Montana Supreme Court now. Hmm. So we finally had oral argument, finally, after 12 years of this tortured history of trying to make sure that parents' rights are protected here in this state, that babies are protected, that young women, young girls who find themselves in a situation where they're pregnant, whatever the reason, that they have the benefit of counsel from their most trusted people in their lives, their parents. Now, I know that there are exceptions, and there is an exception in that law for a judicial bypass procedure. But the Montana Supreme Court, at least some of the justices during this hearing, openly hostile towards the idea that parents have any rights in this situation.
We know that girls in these situations are oftentimes coerced into getting these procedures done by maybe unsatisfied, you know, partners, boyfriends, or abusers, or whatever it may be. Like, and I know that's the goal of that, is to make sure that we have, you know, parents who are involved in this process so that they are not just being pressured and coerced into doing this.
Well, that's right. And it's not just, partners and boyfriends. It's also sex traffickers, mm-hmm. you know, that take advantage of, the fact that some states aren't allowing parental consent before these types of procedures. And these sex traffickers will claim that they themselves are the parent and that they're bringing their daughter in. And there's no verification. And, you know, but think about this, Patrick. Now we have a proposed ballot issue that's also before the Montana Supreme Court. They have yet to rule on it. We expect it any day. But this is a challenge to the Attorney General's legal sufficiency determination. He found it legally insufficient. But it's a constitutional initiative to amend our Constitution to add a right to abortion. Mm-hmm. And this right to abortion is so broad that it would include things like partial birth abortion here in the state of Montana. And it would also subject people who dare to ask, you know, are you this girl's parent? Where is this girl's parent? that could be viewed as interfering with the right to abortion, and you could be sued if you ask that sort of question. Think about the chilling nature of that sort of constitutional provision, that we can't even ask these basic questions. But think about a 12 or a 13-year-old girl heading into a Planned Parenthood facility. You know, what are we doing to protect these kids here in Montana? And so, you know, obviously our state attorney general is fighting very hard to defend the unborn. Mm-hmm. The deputy solicitor, Brent Mead, argued for the state and on behalf of those that support the Parental Consent Act, did a fantastic job. We'll see what the court does. But we certainly had some justices during the questioning portion of that hearing that seemed less than pleased with the idea that this law should be in force.
Hmm. That's crazy.
So this is just a snapshot,
yeah,
within the past 2 weeks,
yeah,
of what's happening here in Montana. And just on the issue of life. Mm-hmm. You know, that we can go on. There's a challenge to Senate Bill 99 protecting kids from transgender ideology and irreversible medical interventions that mutilate their bodies. But there's all kinds of, you know, dare I say, evil around us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is threatening, as we've talked about before, the family unit. Mm-hmm. It's threatening marriage. It's threatening God's design for individual human beings. And boy, that is heavy, mm-hmm, and can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
So what do you do? And I want to talk about what I do too, but I want to learn more about you, my friend. What do you do when you're feeling, you know, discouraged by the weight of all of this that we're fighting against and fighting for?
Sometimes I find that, especially if I get into, I think they call this doom scrolling. You get on, especially like, I mean, X news apps, right? Where you're seeing horrible things going on in the world.
For some of our listeners, I had to learn that X is
Twitter.
That's what it, okay.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, when Elon Musk purchased Twitter, he named it X. So I try to go along with that. But if I ever get into a place where, you know, I'm looking at a lot of that stuff, or there's just heavy stuff going on at work or whatever it may be, sometimes I cannot pull myself out of it. And sometimes I cannot even get to the place where I can just, like, I mean, even just entering prayer sometimes can be difficult when you're, like, really bogged down. One thing that I was told by a good friend of mine, Mike Tyson, not the Mike Tyson, this is a former pastor in Bozeman. He's down in Tennessee now. He said, put on some gospel music, put on some worship music, and just let it play in the background. Like, even if you're not singing along to it, even if it's not like your favorite jam, just put it on. You know, find ones that maybe you like more than others, of course. But that will actually go inside of you and will start to kind of chisel away the ice around your heart, so to speak, and will start to make you feel a little bit better. And then we'll actually get you to a place where you maybe can enter prayer a little bit easier and really try to get on that wavelength with God. That's one thing that I've found, like, when I'm really in it, is just worship music really changes how I feel about things. And then, I mean, I have some favorite Bible verses. I can't say that I always, like, think of them, but in our guest bathroom, which is the main bathroom that I use in our house in the morning when I get ready, I have a Bible verse that I have up, and it's just like a, you know, it's a printed card, I think. And I just have it, like, tacked into the wall, and it's actually Habakkuk chapter 3:17-18. And this verse is, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation.
Nice.
I love that.
I love that too. And you know, you don't get a lot of citation to Habakkuk.
Yeah.
So, and certainly there may be alternate pronunciations there, but no, I love that verse. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about. You know, hey, there's nothing's going right in this world, but I'm still going to take my hope and my refuge in the Lord. Mm-hmm. I always like, and I love what you said too, Patrick. You know, sometimes this world is so distracting, you know, especially with technology and our cell phones, which, you know, are just an extension of our arm at this point. You know, it's hard to unplug sometimes. It's hard to just set everything aside and reach for your Bible and open up the Word. But if you can make it a practice, boy, is it helpful. And the verse that really encourages me in these sorts of times when we are discouraged, when the world around us is overwhelming, is Galatians 6:9. Mm-hmm. And that says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good." And let us not grow weary of doing good. It's as simple as that. You know, that's just Paul keeping it simple. Don't get tired of doing the right thing.
Yeah.
In due course, you'll reap what you sow. So when we're filing briefs in front of the Montana Supreme Court or in front of district court, you know, it can be discouraging when you feel like you already know the outcome. But you don't. And we serve a powerful God, and we're told, don't get tired of doing the right thing. Don't get tired of doing good. Mm-hmm. So that's always encouraging to me. Prayer, of course. And I find in prayer that attitude of rejoicing that you're talking about is really helpful. To remember the God that we serve, to remember that he's a God who doesn't break his promises, has never failed us, and never will. That is really encouraging. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, and I was just looking for it now, but Hebrews 12, which I think scholars largely believe that Paul wrote Hebrews 12 or Hebrews as well, as far as I understand it.
We don't need to get into it, but you know, I mean, some people maintain that it was Paul. Some say it wasn't. We don't know. I don't think either one of us are going to solve it. But
yeah, we're going to get into a debate about it today.
Yeah, no, we're not going to arm wrestle over this.
But there are these always these verses that reference like running the race, right?
Right.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And there's a lot of references that Paul mentions about running the race. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's what we think about. Like, don't grow weary of doing good, right?
Right.
Because you're going to look back on your life and what you did, and how did you meet these challenges? Did you let yourself get bogged down, or did you pick yourself back up, fix your eyes on Jesus, and keep moving forward for, you know, not just your sake, but your loved one's sake, the people around us that are waiting for us to love on them, to teach them about Jesus, to help them, you know, whatever it may be.
Right. Yeah. Well, and returning to those promises from God, you know, the Bible is filled with promises from God. I'll pepper a few of them at you.
Yeah.
You know, that in your time of prayer, and if you're listening and feeling overwhelmed by, you know, and it doesn't have to just be political issues or, you know, policy stressors like we deal with. It could be look, how am I in these times, Patrick, how am I going to get food on the table?
Yeah.
How am I going to pay these bills? How am I going to take care of my children? Mm. How am I going to make that mortgage payment? I mean, these are real issues. Mm-hmm. And relying and turning to God in those times of need and discouragement is what God asks us to do. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 40, it says, God gives power and strength to the faint and the weary. Mm-hmm. Psalm 34, God hears and delivers those who seek him and call upon him in trouble. Mm-hmm. Philippians 4:13, this is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Love that one.
God enables you. 1 Peter 5:7, God cares for us and invites us to cast our anxieties on him. James 1:12, God blesses those who endure trials and tests of their faith. I mean, these are all promises from God that we can turn to and know, look, this guy doesn't break his promises.
Mm-hmm.
He's faithful and true. We can rely on that. In my time of need, even when the vineyard isn't producing fruit and there's no flock mm-hmm. in the pasture, you know, like your verse says, I can still rejoice in the Lord because he is faithful and his word is truth.
This weekend at the Disciple concert, the lead singer, as he was sharing his own testimony, he was talking about how he oftentimes, you know, when he struggled with addiction, with drugs and alcohol, he was saved. I mean, he had accepted Jesus, but he still struggled with sin in his life. And he said that, you know, he was very isolated, that he was very ashamed of that sin, that he did not share, like tell others about that. And so this was, you know, him having conversations back and forth with Jesus about these struggles. And he said that finally he felt like God told him that he was supposed to share it with others around him, that God also gave us each other. And James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And so, you know, you mentioning people that are struggling with hardships, financial hardships, whatever it may be, God did not intend for us to go through these struggles alone. I mean, he founded the church so that we could support one another. And to our listeners, if you are isolated in your homes, you know, even just like with your own family and, you know, no one else, I mean, we should be all thankful, of course, for our families, but we need to be in community. We need to be around other believers, because as things get more and more difficult, the power of the church to support and help other believers and help their friends and loved ones and neighbors and stuff, it's going to become more and more valuable, I think. And I think we've seen that through oppressed historical timeframes where the church was just so key in getting people through dark times. And God did that on purpose. So yes, we got to be in relationship with Jesus and God, and he can take all of those burdens upon himself. But he also gave us the church. He gave us one another so that we can, you know, confide into one another and like share these struggles with each other so that we know we're not going through it alone and we can actually face these things and overcome them together.
That's right. That's right. We're designed and created for community. You know, that's part of the initiative of your project with the family leaders. Mm-hmm. I mean, creating these communities of like-minded folks who want to be engaged. It's not just engaging on these issues, but it's building that community of believers, mm-hmm. the body of Christ. It, you know, church is not just a building, folks, you know, it's a body. It's
not a global body.
That's right. That's right. And hope is so important. Mm-hmm. Hope is so important. I may have shared this before on the podcast, but I heard this once and it really stuck with me, that, you know, the four things you need in a emergency situation or survival situation are food, water, shelter, and hope. If you don't have that last ingredient, you're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've thought about that a lot. I mean, and we have a God who, his eye is on the sparrow. He provides everything that we need. He cares for us. He does. Mm-hmm. So we can find our hope in him. Mm-hmm. But just from an objective standpoint, even without, you know, biblical reference, you know, there's scientists and doctors at Harvard that take notice of how important hope is. I was reading this morning about, it's from Harvard's Health Journal, and they talk about human beings with chronic illnesses. If they have greater degrees of hope, it's associated with improved coping, well-being, and engagement in healthy behaviors. Mm-hmm. This is all important stuff for getting better. Mm-hmm. If you don't have hope, you don't get well soon. Mm-hmm. It also extends into your later life. I mean, having hope, you know, even if you're a young adult dealing with a chronic illness, having hope later in life is important to combat disease, etc. It's a fascinating study from Harvard. So I mean, just throw that tidbit in there. Even folks that aren't necessarily approaching this from a, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, the hope, the life, everything.
Yeah,
they recognize the importance of having something to put your hope in.
Right, absolutely. And I'm gonna beat it to death, but the word is hope. I mean, the Bible is hope. You got to open it up, and you know, Jesus called it, the bread of life. I love the story of when he's talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, and his apostles go see if they can find some food, and they come back, and he's had this whole conversation with this woman about her whole life and being remarried several times and things like this. And the apostles come back and they said, you know, hey, we got some food. And he says, you know, I don't need any food. And they're like, well, where did you get food? And he's like, I have food that you don't know about. Because he's talking about the hope that his father, that God Almighty, you know, in heaven, that he has for him. And that's the same hope that he offers us in the word. And so, you know, open it up. It's when people say it's living, it speaks to you, and it speaks to something inside of you that you don't even sometimes recognize is there. And it's real.
Yeah. It's that God-shaped hole that we all have in our life that can only be filled and fulfilled by the Lord of heaven.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, wow. I really appreciate this discussion, Patrick. And, you know, for those listeners out there that, you know, you turn on CNN or Fox News or whatever, wherever you get your news, there's not a whole lot of good news out there. It's just, you get beaten down by it, and it can be really discouraging if that's all you're listening to. So let's encourage people to open up the word, unplug, put down your phone, turn it off maybe for a little while.
Get in community.
Get in community.
At your church, in your neighborhood, go introduce yourself to your neighbor. How many people on here know who their neighbors are?
Yeah.
I guarantee some people listening don't. Go introduce yourself to your neighbor. That's a start.
That is a start, you know, and it's that's interesting. You know, as soon as garage doors became more popular, I guess neighborly conduct declined. But yeah,
front porches turned on into back porches, right?
That's right. But yeah, folks, on behalf of the Montana Family Foundation, we just encourage you to, you know, find hope in Christ. Don't be discouraged by court cases and the goings on in Washington, D.C. You know, we serve a good God who is faithful and true, who doesn't break his promises, who says you can put your hope in Jesus, and he's not going to let you down. So we encourage you to do that. And if you're interested in joining a community of like-minded believers who are active and engaged, you know, reach out to the Montana Family Foundation, reach out to Patrick and get involved. We'd love to meet you. Love to have you. Thank you so much for listening. Patrick, I'll give you the last word.
Ooh, well, I'm feeling it. I got to get in my last verse here. You know, Paul was experiencing some pretty serious stuff in the Roman Empire, in Nero's Rome, really awful things happening. And he wrote in Romans, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's hope to me.
That is hope. That is hope. So on behalf of the Montana Family Foundation and the Family Matters Podcast, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your prayers and for your support. If you would like to learn more about the Montana Family Foundation, please visit our website at montanafamily.org. Thank you so much, and God bless.